One of my best buddies is a guy, was a guy, named John Clausen. And I say was because John passed away 4 years ago, right about this time, from a heart attack. So I've been, every year, I kind of reminisce about John. I miss him a lot. I met John first. We met in college. And actually, the first time I met him, he came out to help Lisa and I, my wife Lisa and I, move into married housing in college at Central College in Pella, Iowa. His wife, he and his wife Cindy lived just two doors down from us. And ever since then, we've been fast friends. They came to a Bible study that Lisa and I hosted in our apartment, and it was there at our Bible study that that both he and I received our call to ministry, and then eventually we went to seminary together, and as I said, we've been the best of friends ever since. One of my favorite memories about John, as I've been reminiscing, was this. Many, many years ago, he and his wife and his family moved into an acreage just south of Des Moines. And I went to visit them one day, and not long after they had moved in. And what I discovered was, just as I was going up their lane to their house, was that there was a farm pond on the north side of the road. And while John and I were visiting, he said, "Hey, Craig, would you like to go down and let's just go?" They had a little paddle boat on this pond. He said, "You want to go down and go for a ride around the pond?" He said, "I've never done it before. Maybe we..." And I said, "I'd love to do that." So we did. Now, you may think that sounds like fun, or you may just think it sounds like no big deal. Well, it was fun, and it was a big deal. I'll tell you why. As we get down there, one of the things you don't know about my friend John is that he was 5.5 feet tall and at the time weighed about 300 pounds. So getting into that paddle boat and then out of the paddle boat was an adventure, okay? Now, he didn't even realize it at the time, okay, because he had never even been on this paddle boat yet. So we walk down the road to the farm pond. We walk out onto the deck, and he says, "Why don't you get in first and kind of to counterbalance?" So I got in first, and then he stepped in, at which time we nearly both went tumbling into the pond. But we were okay. We made it. We paddled around the farm pond for about a half hour, 45 minutes maybe, just enjoying the scenery and just talking until it was time to go in. At which time he says, "Craig, I've got a better plan for getting out." I said, "Oh, really? What's the plan?" He says, "This is what we're going to do. You guys ever watch the Flintstones? Most of you are way too young." But we just started paddling for all we were worth. He says, "We were going to paddle for all we're worth, up to the shore and hoping that we can beach ourselves to the point so that once we get there, he'll just be able to step off onto dry land." I said, "Okay." So we start paddling, and we get about 5 feet from the shore and get stuck in the muck and the mire. You guys know what most farm ponds are used for, right? Like cattle to drink out of and do other things in. And we're stuck about 5 feet from the shore. And I look at him, he looks at me, and I said, "Dude, you're just going to have to bite the bullet and walk from here into the shoreline." And he goes, "No way. You know what they do in this pond?" And I said, "I do know what they do in this pond." He says, "I'm jumping from here to dry land." And just as he pushes off. And as he pushed off, the boat went out from under him and he landed face first into the muck and the mire. We laughed about that for so long. I'm just telling you. I love that memory. One of my favorite memories. And it's not just a memory, actually. It's a metaphor. As I was thinking and reminiscing this week, I realized that it was a metaphor, actually, for Holy Week. It's a metaphor for the week between Palm Sunday today and Easter. Now, how is it a metaphor, Pastor? Well, you see, I have this sneaking suspicion that most of us, most of you, would just love to jump from the pageantry of Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter and miss the muck and the mire of everything in between. But I'm not going to allow it today. And there's good reason for it. I actually believe that the muck and the mire is the point. And we need to experience it. So, let's do that today. I invite you, if you would, if you take out one of your Bibles, brought your own Bible, that's awesome. Take one of the church Bibles out. Turn to Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 36. This is a portion of the Palm Sunday narrative. As Billy likes to say, we love it when our Bibles around here go missing. If you don't have a Bible or if you need another Bible, take that Bible home with you. It's our gift to you. We can buy more, promise you. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 36. It'll be up on the screen, but I really do want you to read it in the Bibles along with me. Starting at verse 36, the Palm Sunday narrative goes like this. It says, "And he, Jesus, rode along, and as they did, they spread their cloaks," they being the crowd, right? "Spread their coats or their cloaks on the road in front of him. And as he was drawing near," as he was drawing near the city, we'll find out later that's where he's drawing near to, "already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" We're going to pause right there for just a moment. That's not the whole of the narrative of Palm Sunday, but this is my favorite part. I want us to begin, however, asking the question, why? Why were the Pharisees, or these religious leaders who were in the crowd that day, why were they so offended by what the crowd was saying? Well, it's actually very simple. What the Pharisees understood was that the people understood. The people understood that that very moment they were a part of the fulfillment of a biblical prophecy, a prophecy that is found in the Old Testament book of Zechariah as well as in Isaiah. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It talks about that very moment in these prophecies that had been written hundreds of years before. And they were a part of the fulfillment of prophecy. They thought they were a part of the fulfillment of prophecy anyway. The Pharisees didn't believe that. And they were offended that these people would even, first of all, be arrogant enough to interpret Scripture, let alone think that Jesus might be the coming Messiah, right? But the fact of the matter is, it was almost undeniable. There was electricity in the air. Have you ever been someplace where the excitement was so palpable that you could feel it? That's what was happening that day. It was the songs, the energy on the road into Jerusalem was undeniable to anybody. And in fact, it was undeniable to the Pharisees, and that's one of the reasons why they were so shocked and offended by the whole thing, because they couldn't deny how powerful the moment was. They just didn't want to accept it. It should have been, and it was, up to this point in his life, the pinnacle of Jesus' career. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He was publicly being proclaimed the Messiah. Yet look what happens next. This is a part of the Palm Sunday narrative as well. Look at this. And when he, Jesus, drew near and saw the city, saw Jerusalem, look what it says. He wept over it. He wept, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side." And tear you down to the ground, you and your children with you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, Jerusalem. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. That is not my favorite part of the Palm Sunday narrative. Is it yours? I like the parade. I like the songs. It's a very strange juxtaposition, right? Literally at his back, they've just thrown a parade for him, right? The people are singing his praises. They are proclaiming him the Messiah. And here he stands weeping. Why was he weeping? Well, I think there are two reasons personally. The first one is because Jesus is God, right? We know Jesus is God, which means he knows everything. He knows the future. He knows that in AD 70, which would be about somewhere 35 years, little maybe, give or take, whatever, into the future, everything that he just said in this passage would be fulfilled. That the city would be barricaded on all sides, that it would be sacked and looted, destroyed. He knew that not only would the city of Jerusalem be destroyed, but the nation of Israel would cease to exist until 1948 when it was reestablished. Again, 2,000 years that it ceased to exist. He wept because he knew, because he's God. I alluded to the fact that there was another reason that he wept, I think. You know the last part of that? Look at the last part of that passage again where it says, because they did not know the time of their visitation. Well, here's the irony of it. It appears from the first part of the narrative that we read that they did know the time of the visitation. They were proclaiming him to be Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, right? Yet, they did not know the time of their visitation, it says. So why did he weep? I think he wept because he knew that those same people who were standing at his back at this very moment, singing and throwing a parade for him, proclaiming him to be Messiah, I believe that he knew those same people in just a few short days would go from praising to saying, "Crucify him." The same people. I think he may have been weeping because he knew that one of his best friends was going to betray him. And another one would deny him. And all the rest of them would abandon him. I think he wept because he knew that in just a few short days, he would be beaten so badly that you wouldn't even be able to recognize him. And he'd be hung on a cross between two thieves until he died. And he didn't even do anything. Now, I understand it if you don't want to hear that today, of all days, right? Today is a day about palm branches and singing hosannas, right? And I get it. I really do. Some of your favorite childhood memories may be of going to church with a palm frond, waving it, going down the center aisle while the choir proceeds down the center aisle singing the hallelujah chorus. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. You guys have memories like that? Some of my favorite memories. So why bring us down with all that stuff, Craig? Why drag us into the muck and the mire? Because I must. We must remember the muck and the mire. We must come to grips with the fact that we are the reason why all of this was necessary in the first place. To not remember would be to cheapen everything that Jesus has done. It would be to make it the reason for it just because a reason for a parade or to buy a new outfit or to have an Easter egg hunt for your kids. That's all it would be. If you choose to jump between this moment and next Sunday, don't do it. We have hope. In the midst of the muck and the mire and our sin, which is our lives, because of Jesus. Amen? Because of what Jesus did for us. But you need to listen to me. That hope only belongs to you if you confess that you are a sinner. Repent of your sin and submit to Him as your Lord. If you've never done that, the hope isn't yours, but it can be. Don't think that just because you have gone to church your whole life or because your mom taught Sunday school that you're good, you're covered. That isn't the way it works. You, God has no grandchildren. You must confess your sin, repent of your sin, and submit to Jesus as Lord. Right over there is our prayer room. If you need help, if you'd like help praying that prayer, it'd be our privilege to pray it with you. Or if there's something else going on in your life that you need prayer for, we'll meet you right over there.